Pashut, Chashav, Tibur, to cover, to share some Divrei Torah, and the regular Sukkot, as Chazal tell us, that Leinidu Yom Tevin Yisrael, Ela Lassad Ben Batayra, and Dafka, in the Beis Medrash, I'd like to dedicate what I'm about to say, to Ilei Nishmas, Meir V'Rabbi Rabbi Yisrael Yitzchak, Rabbi Meir Yaakov, who was my Rebbe in 10th grade and had a tremendous impact upon me, and was Nifter, who was Nifter the first day of Sukkot last year, and was buried here in Eretz Yisrael on Yud Ches Tishrei. Oh. So most of what we're talking about, Ezra Hashem, is going to be things that are Negei Halacha L'Maaseh. But I want to start off with something that's Dafka not Negei Halacha L'Maaseh, and it's not even La'asa Lava. It's something that was Negei for, according to the Rambam, 369 years. What's the question? We know that the Torah tells us, Basuka, it says, L'kachem l'chem b'yoyim rishoy, u'smachem l'fnei Hashem l'kechem shivat yomim. Say Chazal, that in the Beis HaMikdash, which is l'fnei Hashem, you have to take the Arba Minim shivat yomim, whereas in the Gvulin and in Chutzlaret, anywhere that's not the Beis HaMikdash, what you do, you only take it the first day. Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Zeicher LeMikdash, that we take for the entire Chag HaSukkot, the Arba Minim. Says the Rambam that this halacha doesn't only apply in the Beis HaMikdash itself, but it applies in the entire city of Yerushalayim. The Achrayim talk about what about today. The Kuri Yaakov suggests that maybe even today there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to take the lulav and esrog every one of the days of Sukkot. Even today, other Achrayim say it was only in Yerushalayim, even though the Rambam holds it's kitchah la'asa lavai, but once there's no Beit HaMikdash, there's no inyan of lifnei Hashem today. But either way, here's the question. We know the Gemara tells us that in Mishkan Shiloh there was a special din, that all the karbanos of Kachim Kalim, which normally are eaten within the city of Yerushalayim, have a din in Shiloh that as long as you could see the Mishkan, no matter where you're located, you're able to eat Kachim Kalim, even if you're relatively far away. There's no geographical location which binds you to Shiloh in order to eat Kachim Kalim. As long as you could see the Makom HaMishkan, you're able to do so. The question becomes, is that a din in Achilas Kachim Kalim? Is that a din in Karbanos? Or maybe it really means that in the times of Shiloh, you were actually able to connect, to be considered as in the city of Shiloh, as long as you could see the Mishkan. And what's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is this din. In the times of the Mishkan Shiloh, those 369 years were Klai Yisrael Mitzvah. As long as they could see from very far away, they could see the Makam HaMishkan with a mitzvah d'oraisa to take the lulav and esrog. And this is why I say it's not halacha that's going to apply less halacha. It's not halacha that applies today. But during those years, it was halacha l'maisa. There are many tshuvas written about it. I don't know. So what's the din? Are you chayav to take lulav and esrog d'oraisa with man Mishkan Shiloh as long as you could see it? Or maybe that's the din of karbanos. And I think the answer is very pashut, that the Mishnah tells us in Megillah, that Pesam and Veid, Ein Vein Shiloh Yerushalayim, Elash Tav Shiloh Oichlem Kachim Kalim, U'Matar Sheini B'chol HaRoya. In Shiloh you can eat Kachim Kalim, and Matar Sheini, as long as you can see. Kachim Kalim are those karbanos which are able to be eaten in the entire Yerushalayim, and in Shiloh B'chol HaRoya. But if you look at the Pesukim of Matar Sheini, what does it say? It says you eat it Lifnei Hashem. So if the Pasuk tells us, Smachtam Lifnei Hashem Shivas Yom, and the Pasuk by Meisah Sheni tells us, you have to eat it Lifnei Hashem Aleitech. So L'chayro, it's the same din. So if you can eat Meisah Sheni also, as the Mishnah tells us in Megillah, B'chol HaRoya, it comes out that you could actually have a Mitzvah D'Oraisa to take Lulav and Esrog as long as you could see Mishkan Shiloh. What would happen if we put the 369 years, if we transport them to today, if you were on a helicopter or a satellite, or an airplane, would you have the mitzvah d'oraisa as long as you could see Shiloh? That you're going to have to ask someone else. But the question itself shows that the din of taking the lulav and esrog is an inyan of lifnei Hashem, and it can not only apply necessarily in the ear, see the Rambam, but maybe even as long as it's b'chol haroya in Mishkan Shiloh. I'm sorry?
says, so why is the Mishnah giving a list, especially it's in the Mishnah of the Ein Bein? Oh, so Rav Jacobson wants to know, why doesn't it mention that as well? Oh, I don't know if it's Kasher or Tiyuvta, but I'll call upon him, it's a very good Ha'ar. Oh, so then, I want to tell, share with the Tzibur a Maisa that happened many years ago, not so many years ago. It was Erev Sukkot, Tavshin Ayin Beis, or Tavshin Ayin Aleph, I'm not sure. I used to go very often to Daven by Rav Yashin. I would take my older children there. And on Erev Sukkot, he departed from his normal minig, and he would daven Vasikin. Rav Yashin almost never davened Vasikin, because he felt like if he starts to daven Vasikin, you know, all the regulars in his minion are going to have a hard time coming. He's being Matriach Tzibur. So he would daven every day at 6:15, and that was it. But on Erev Sukkot, for some reason, I guess Rav Yashin was super busy, then he would daven Vasikin. And because of that, the crowd was taka smaller, as opposed to the next few days, where the crowd was very big. So I remember that year, his Talmud, Rav Yitzchak Darzi, asked him the following question. And I remember Rav Yashav shocked me. I couldn't believe that he answered what he answered. Rav Darzi asked him the following question. What happens if a person goes to the Shuk Arba Minim? In those days, he was already in Zutnik. Whoever remembers ancient history, the Arba Minim Shuk used to be the entire Rehov Me'ah Sha'arim was blocked off for about a week. And then you could buy whatever you wanted there. I remember I got my first Esther there. It was Erev Sukkot, Tavshin Nun Aleph. Yeah, it was 10 shkalim for that Esther. It was pretty nice. And then I took it to Rabbi Shmuel Grossman. He told me it was very nice. So that was going on in those days. But at the point this question was asked, I think it was ready in Zubnik, the fellow goes around and around, and he comes out with an Esther like he never had in his whole life. Beautiful, beautiful Esther. And he very happily comes to Shul, asks Rabbi Darzi the following to Rabbi Yashiv. Punkt, he happens to be next to Big Zir when he sits in Shul. Okay, maybe, you know, think of the appropriate name, fill it in. And that Gvir, right before Halal, pulls out an Esrig that it makes his Kekos B'Shnei Ben Yadav. It's like his Esrig, as much as it's the nicest Esrig he never had something that Mimoit Vriyat Ha'ilam. It was never such a... So this fellow pulls out, he's a very nice person. Probably the way he got the Esrig is because he was so generous. So he generously offers our Yid. He says, please, I have this Esrig, but you're about to make a bracha. I'm giving to you a matana manas bahafri. You could take my Esrig. And the fellow doesn't know what to do because he never saw anything like it his entire life. Even on the cover of a magazine, he never saw such an Esrig. It's beautiful. So now he wants to know, ask Rabbi Darzi, should I take this fellow's Esrig? And then I'll shake with mine. And then I'll have such a kiyum mitzvah that I'll be able to tell my grandchildren about. Or maybe not. So on the spot, Rav Yashiv answered him, you should take the esrog that he took. Now whoever knows a little bit about Rav Yashiv, he was almost disturbingly halachic. Even though he's the genical of the Leshem, the great mekubal, the gadol ador among the mekubalim, if you saw how he acted and how he pastened, he would never reference anything that was herogation. Everything was extremely thought out. If people were asking where to daven, he'd always say daven by the Kaisel. What about going to Rashbi, to the Kever of the Chazanish? Name any place in the entire world, he would say, no, but the Shemi never leaves the Kaisel Maravi, so you shouldn't go anywhere else. Everything by him was so Eskeshman. So you'd think the fellow's offering him, who cares if he put in many, many hours looking for this Esther? He's so proud of it and happy with it and connected with it. But this fellow's offering him a nicer Esther, so shouldn't it be obvious? It's not costing him anything. Take the nicer Esther. It should be Pasha. So this was disturbing me for a while. Why did Rav Yashin say he should take the Esther that he took? So, you know, you could say Rav Yashin knew a few gvirim. Maybe he was worried the guy didn't pay for it. V'hoyu dvarim ma'ilam, that the people with the deep pockets maybe don't pay. I was also thinking that if you look in Simitokrish and Ches, it talks about using the Esther as hakahal. And then it also talks about, at the end, the Ramah says in the end of Siftes, V'chol Adam Yishtadol V'yezorez V'mitzvah Likloisloy Esrog V'lulav Levad. He should buy his own. In those days, that was like driving the fanciest car, was having your own lulav and esrog. K'dei l'kayim ha'mitzvah k'tikuno. Says the Mishnah Berurah, he's bringing down the Magen. Ki roi v'oilom einam yoydim l'haknois l'kavirat. Most people don't know, here's the question how to translate this, einam yoydim l'haknois l'kavirat. So I think that Miriam Eliyashiv was learning that most people don't know the ins and outs of a matana manas lahavdir. The Rush talks about, can you make a matana l'zman? Does that work? So, since it's a halachically complicated place to go, But Rabbi Asher was advising that someone who has his own esrog should stick with his own esrog and not have to come on to any extra hurdles before he gets to this beautiful esrog. Maybe. I think the pshat in the Magen Avraham is that many people don't realize, because it's only the first day you have lacha, many people don't realize that you have to be. That's what the words are. They don't even know that's a priority, that's a necessity. I don't know. But Lamaitha, a little while later, I came upon a Gemara and a Rashi in Masechet Yuma, which have me convinced that this is what Rabbi Asher said. The Gemara in Yuma and the Ayin tells us a fascinating caveat about the day of Yom Kippur in the Beit HaMikdash. It's all around the Kohen Gadol. And then there's a parenthetical comment at the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Daf Ayin, what happened after the Kohen Gadol was finished with his Avodah? So it says the following thing. V'achakach, kol echad v'echad mevi sefer Torah mibeitoi, v'koirei boi, kidei laharois chazusoi l'rabim. Each person brought a sefer Torah. Rashi says it was mibeoid yoyim. Rashi elsewhere has two other pshatim, how they were able to bring it on Yom Kippur. And he would read his Sefer Torah in the Azara of the Beit HaMikdash in order to show it to everyone else. That we're familiar with, that we have nowadays, in order to show it to everyone else, that we have. But to bring a Sefer Torah to shul, that we don't have. But Laharis Chazus to the Rabbi. So I guess Rashi is already bothered. What, that's a priority on Yom Kippur? You want to show off to somebody else? So Rashi says something which is foundational for, I think, especially for chutzpah. Why? Says Rashi, Laharois noyoi shall sefer Torah, to show the beauty of his sefer Torah. I pointed out that Yom Kippur is the day that Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the luchas that he fashioned himself. The luchas rishonis that came down on Shiva Osir B'Tamuz. So those were totally made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The label said, made in Shemayim, right? But on the label of Moshe Rabbeinu's luchas, it said, made in the quarry of Moshe Rabbeinu and written by the Rebbe Yisrael according to most days. So on that day is maybe an appropriate day to take out a Sefer Torah that you Taka wrote yourself, you worked on it yourself. Says Rashi, what are you showing? The beauty of the Sefer Torah, v'tiferet be'aleha, and the glory of its owner, shetorach lehisnois ba'mitzvah. That was Matriach himself, lehisnois ba'mitzvah shenemar, ze keli v'anveyu, hisnoa lefon of a mitzvah, lulav noeh, sefer Torah noeh, v'klaf noeh, v'joi noeh, v'laf u'man, etc. Says Rashi, that besides, the Achorinim already talk about this issue, the Rishonim already miramis to it, that besides the fact that it says three eighths hadar, there's a separate entity at work in the realm of Arba Minim called anveyu. The same anveyu that we have with other mitzvahs, where it doesn't say the word hadar, is at work when it comes to the Arba Minim as well. It's a separate din, the pashtus. And therefore, there's a din that you have to have a nice lulav. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa, the kedi v'anveyu. So, what goes into that? What makes something very nice? Says Rashi over here, he's not elefon of the mitzvahs, and the way he's magdir it beforehand is Tiferet be'aleha shetorach lehisnois v'mitzvah. That was Matriach himself lehisnois v'mitzvah. So you see that if I was Matriach myself over this esrog, that's my ve'anveyu. It doesn't help that the guy next to me has a nicer esrog. Of course that figures into it. If I spent 20 years looking for an esrog and all I got was a bent over esrog full of blatbach, that's bekoshi usable, that's a different story. But if my esrog is really objectively mehudar, and it has the aspect that is tiferes be'aleha shetorach lehisnois v'mitzvahs, and that is even what v'anveyu tells us with this Rashi, so it's halachically preferable for this fellow Yankele to take his own Yankele's esrog more than to take this show-stopping esrog that was never seen in Mois Olam, because he wasn't much riyak for that. That's not his hadar. And I'll tell you even more. And the Gvir, right, he had to drop a few million to some Moisid in order to get that esrog. So he was Matriach in his. Every person, no one wants to switch with anyone else's esrog. Nafkamina, for us, we have, maybe our esrogim aren't even as nice as Rav Darzi's imaginary person. Maybe they're not as nice as his. But if we go to the Shuk Arba Minim and each one of our children picked out an esrog after a long search, they shouldn't switch with each other at the last second. Each one should take the one that he picked out. That's what comes out. But I just want to add, and this is for the chutzpikim, we're used to like almost knowing Hebrew. what is the word that Kedi Van Zeyu, it's not one of the mitzvahs. What does the word mean? So we think you make beautify the mitzvah. No, that's not what it means. His noel is one of the mitzvahs means beautify yourself. Make yourself beautiful with mitzvahs. And that's how Rashi's teaching it. Tif eret ve'aleh, the beauty, the glory of the Baalim. Shetorach lehis no'ayt, that he beautified himself with a mitzvah. So it's not just that you're being beautifying the object of the mitzvah, you're beautifying yourself. And that's the pshat that Rashi is explaining. That Zekeli v'anveyu, that when the Gemara darshins, it's not the fun of a mitzvah, it means you. And that fits beautifully into the question that Rav Darzi asked Rav Yashas. I think it's the last thing that I heard Rav Yashas say. That what? That you should take the esrig that you picked out because that makes you more beautiful. And the combination of the beautiful esrig and the person who worked hard to get it, that is the hiddur, that's the v'anveyu that the Burnish Olam seeks. Adkan, my taich in Rav Yashas, psak, and we're going to have to find out. That's Hashem, the head of the man of the car, will find out, is that psak of what he meant? It's brought from the Imri Emes. Is the following fascinating shaila. We all know Matona Almanas Lahavdir is a mechanism that was used very, very often in the days where people didn't have the capacity to buy their own Arba Minas. The Imri Emes declares the following shaila. What would be if the Mekabel was a Chevraman, and he gave back, after he finished shaking the esrog, he realized that tomorrow he doesn't have an esrog. So what's he going to do? So he gives it back to the Baalim, and he says, I'm giving back to you, I'm an Aslahasid. I'm fulfilling my tonight, but now I'm chopping you in the same net that you chopped me. You gave it to me, I'm an Aslahasid, I'm giving it back to you, I'm fulfilling the tonight, but it's only if you, Reuven, who's really the primary owner of the esrog, is going to give it back to me. And this way I know that you ain't going nowhere, and I'm going to have an esrog tomorrow. Could he do such a thing? So earlier this Chag, I was by Rav Neventhal Shlita, and I was discussing this shaila with him, and he said in an interesting lundus, he said, even though Be'etzem, a person who has a matana on Asa after, for now, it's his. And the only reason he can't cut it into pieces is not because it's a concern of violet, it's because then it's going to come out and he can't fulfill his tonight. But Rav Neventhal didn't say like that. He said he doesn't have the violet to make his own tanai in the Achzara. That's what the Nevertel wants to say. So Chassarin is the Baal, he doesn't have the Baal that he can create a new tanai upon the tanai that he got it on. But I feel it's much more basic than that. And this is the whole discussion in the Imri Emes himself and those who talk about it. I don't understand even the beginning of the question. And let's quote a Se'if in Shulchan Aruch. We're talking about Simin Tov Reish Nun Ches. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Se'if Hei. Nosnu loy stam, right? We know that he said in Sif Dalit, if he didn't give it back, he wasn't yotzei, he didn't fulfill the tonight. What about if a person stam gives you his lulav on any, you know, in any shul, a guy gives you his lulav on the first day of Sukkot, says in Shulchan Aruch, nosnu loy stam, havi ki iu amar loy, amanash tachzi reyuli. Dimistama al daskin nosnu loy, ki ivan shetzorech lotis voy, shein loy acher. There's no need to even articulate, to stress, to mention that when you give the person your lulav, you're doing it only on Manas Lahafsa. That's the way it always works. Now it's interesting because let's say I was already Yaitzeh. Why do I need it back? But either way, says the Ramah, Hilchat Chayshon Mishpat. You don't need to say the Tanai on the first day of Sukkot. You don't need to say it's on Manas Lahafsa. You give it to someone on Matana, everyone realizes it's only on Manas Lahafsa. Oh, so that's a Shasha. So what Taka would be on the second day? This really could be that it's built on this idea. But it's the chara, like you said before, then why doesn't the Ramah say something? He's being mechaz between the first day and the second day, between before davening and after davening. But he does say the reason of meaning it. So I thought, if that Ramah is true, if it's obvious, he doesn't even have to say that it's Almanas Lahavzir, so what? So let's say he did tell you Almanas Lahavzir. That's what he had in mind. This is the das of the Baalim that you're giving it to him, and then he's forcing you to give it back again. Very difficult to believe that if the Rambam went so far as to say that it's unnecessary to even say Almanas Lahavzir, that if you did say Almanas Lahavzir, that he has a way to undercut you, and that's totally fine. That's within the das with which you gave it to him. Adkan, what my argosha about this question of the Imri Emes. Now I want to bring up to the Chash of Tzibur an interesting question which occurred to me. We know that, maybe we'll talk back to back questions. We all know that what happens sometimes is that we're stuck. We have so many achanas to make for the Chag. We're stuck. It's already Yontif, and something goes wrong, or something was not prepared for, and now I'm stuck without Abaminim, or without a Sukkah. How do we deal with such a situation? So I want to give you two shilas that are brought up, the Gabi this Indian. Shila number one, and this happens, it could happen even in Yerushalayim, Beit Shemesh, probably less so. I remember Sukkot Tavshin Nun Ches, if I'm not mistaken. There was tremendous stormy weather in Yerushalayim, and many Sukkots in certain neighborhoods fell down. Sometimes the Tzach falls down. Al Shem HaShach, through the Sukkot, then you're stuck. But what happens if the Tzach stays on? Let's say you tied it on with the zip ties, which is perfectly fine. As long as the wind's not actually blowing that second, you tie them on, tie them with the, what they call the jute. Then it's 100% fine. The walls fell down, but the Tzach is still there. But now the Sukkah doesn't have walls. It was built, the kashrus, everything's fine. It wasn't passive living. Also, wonderful Sukkah. Problem is, but now there are no walls. Sorry? I don't know that I'm being mechalik. Maybe you'll figure out a way to be mechalik. Right now I'm saying that you're stuck on Yontif without the walls of the Sukkah. So the fascinating din brought down in Simei Tov Reish Lamed, a din that also appears in Hilchos Erevin, says the Mechaber in Sif Yud Aleph, Oysim Mechitza Mibayli Chayim. You can make a Mechitza out of animals. Sif Yud Beit. Yochel Lasayis Mechaveroi Doifel No Sukkah. You could make your friend into the wall of a sukkah. Line up a few people, and presto, you'll have walls of a sukkah. What's the problem? According to many Rishonim, there's an Isser called Mechitza HaMatera. Even if I put up a temporary Mechitza that's not boina by any stretch of the imagination, but if it fills a halachic need and creates a Mechitza which is necessary lehalacha, it is an Isser. When Moshe, something that's ma'is and b'chayim in many houses, they have what's called a Shabbos lamp, maybe in the oven, sometimes you need the light to be off, and it's a shayla of Isser v'heter, so the Shabbos lamp is a very big help, because you can't put a mechitza, that's called a mechitza materis by the poiskim, and it happens every single week. But on Sukkot, we especially, we live and breathe mechitza. As long as we're not on the Vada Erevin, we don't think about mechitza so much on Shabbos. And what happens when you put up a wall of a sukkah, even if what you did is you took like the mechitza that they have like downstairs, right? They have in every simcha hall, they have these mechitzas you can slide from one place to the next that are very heavy. Let's talk about those, because those will stay forever and ever. They're fine. They weigh 1,000 pounds. Just, it's totally not a shayla of boina. But when you get to needing that mechitza to make the sukkah halachically acceptable, then it is called boina. It is at least called mechitza amateras, and it's an asa d'rabbana. So says the Rambam, that you could put your friends there during Chol HaMoed. But on Yontif, it's usher. Why? Because if the guy knows that he's going there in order to create a mechitza, he's doing an Issa D'Rabbanan of creating a mechitza matar. Uvelvad shalo yeda oise shehu amad sham, shebishvil mechitza hu amad sham. Avo b'chol, afilim bu yedei asis. V'afilu b'yontif enei usher, ela v'oison shalo yitifonais hamatirim asuk. The first three walls that you need, and the poiskim clear, what about part of that third wall that is the minimum that you need? Those walls, Yitaka can't put anyone there on Yontif. The guy can't stand there because he's making your sukkah kosher, he's making mechitza hamataret. That's also on Yontif. But if he doesn't realize, you can stand him there. However, the fourth wall, Zoyfen Revi'etz, which is halakhli, not necessary, Shari, it's mutter. Let's say you want to have a fourth wall, it's a nice thing, it's a hidden around, but it's a fourth wall. You put the fella there, and you tell him, be the fourth wall of my sukkah, please. It's mutter on Yontif. So I ask, what happens after your friends lose their patience? Especially since they weren't allowed to stand there, knowing they're making a sukkah. They have no idea why they're there. So I had a chap, the tzibur will tell me what they think of this chap. Take a whole bunch of friends, and they'll make three walls for your sukkah. Three walls? Then, the fourth wall, is not a problem to put the mechitza there. So, you borrow four mechitzas from the grush wall, you put one of those mechitzas on the fourth side, that's mutter, right? Then you could send one side home. Send those 10 people who made the side of your sukkah, send them home. They're not necessary anymore because you have four walls. You send them home. And where they were standing, put the next mechitza. And you keep on going around, till presto, you have a sukkah that was built for Heter on Shabbos, on Yontif. What's the problem? The fourth wall is never an issue. So, the Maitha, you can maybe say that there's a letter/spirit of the law. I don't know which one it is. If you look at the Taz says, why are you allowed to put the fourth wall there? Umahai time of Adoif and Revi is, Kima the Yesh Hefshah Sukkah, Kvarloim Mikri Su Binyan. It's not called Binyan because you have Hefshah Sukkah. So what happens when you set something up that's going to be Binyan? You're allowed to put Kalim, it says. You're allowed to put Kalim for the fourth Bechitza. What if you're setting it up that it's going to eventually be necessary? And you lay it out, but this is my chat, and maybe you can build your Sukkah even on Shabbos and Yontif without having an issue of keeping your friends there the entire time. I'm sorry? 100%. So there's an issue with the walls being there before the staff, an issue of Tassav Lemina also the Chayra, and this is a famous din of Chayit Begadish that the Gemara says you can't create a sukkah that wasn't originally made as a sukkah, but as long as what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch is as long as it was, first two things, first of all it was built for Hefshah, the staff was there from before. And especially if there remains, let's say, a beam around the perimeter of the sukkah that's at least a tefach tall, that already is considered enough of a mechitza. Let's go to one more fascinating question. As Hashem will get to continue, maybe in my own sukkah, my family's going to have to sit there and listen to the rest of what I was going to discuss. But now I want to end off with a very, very fascinating shaila that the Prima Gadim brings, and it's a similar situation. What happens if a person wakes up the first day of Sukkot and he realizes, Gevalt, I have no rings for my lulav. I have no rings. What should I do? What could I do? So the Prima Gadim brings the following thing. Says the Mechaber in Tafresh Nun Aleph, Mitzvah la'agdam b'kesha gomor. Even though we don't pass on with Rabbi Yehuda that lulav tzarech eged, but the Chachamim say that Mishum Hider, you're supposed to have the lulav and esrog, the lulav and hadas and aravos all tied together. So that is called a hider, mishum noi, and it should be a full knot. If you didn't tie it from before Yontif, Aisha Hutar Agudar came out, the Efshal Agdab Yontif, Bekesha Gomer, Ela Agdab Aniva, you use a bow instead of a double knot, because a double knot is a problem on Yontif. Says the Prima Gadim, Nishalti, someone came to me with the following question, Biyom Toiv Rishon, Shaloi Haya Olin Tlushin Milulov. The guy had forgotten to take off his lulav. Right? What do you usually do? You bought your lulav in the shuk, then you come home, you rip off a couple of leaves in the bottom, and then you use them to tie your lulav. The fellow hadn't done that. So what did he want to know? Ishari litlash mi lulav velasit eged. Is it mutter on the other morning to pull leaves off the lulav and to use those leaves to make the rings around the lulav? Says the Prima Gadim, Yishleimar Dishkari. Kol bitolash, less itter. It's very fascinating. I don't know what the question is, Bichlal. We all know you're allowed to pull something. You're allowed to pull grapes off the, you know, off the bunch of grapes. You're allowed to pull them off. The Gemara says you're allowed to take the little berries off a hadas. The only problem is that you're being misak in the hadas. But instead of taking something off a talish, what's the problem? So then, the Shari Tshuva over here, in Sifkat and Gimel, brings that elsewhere the Prima Gadim is much more machmir. Where is that? In Simon Shinkov base. Says the Prima Gadim, for lit time Allah milulav lega the lulav b'yomtev b'kesher amuter ha'olam noyag in chumra b'zeh shaloi litlash b'yomtev u'mechinen ali lulav me'erev yomtev u'dvar ma'mutarim v'atchirim noagu b'hem iser v'chulei. And he says, better not to do it. Get a guy to help you with it. K'medumash yesh noyag in litlash b'shinov v'ikah shinoi that's a shinoi u'pshita z'otzoyach mitzvah shari b'ki agavna u'mikol makam toyuv lasit b'tzina. Sifrei Torah, what exactly is the problem over here? I never got a straight answer from what exactly could be the problem of taking the leaves off the lulav, but maybe there's a problem. But what did I want to say about it? I want to narrate this story. The Prima Gadim said they asked you, could I take the leaves off the lulav? And I want to say, the Shoyel forgot a Mishnah. He's presuming you have to take the leaves off the lulav. How do we know that you have to be Ma'agat the lulav? So if you look at the Gemara and Dafir Aleph, Dafir Gimel, and Mesechas Sukkah, we learn from other places in halacha where you have to have something that is mu'ugad. Agudat Ezoiv of Parah Aduma, the Ezoiv of Mitzayra, there are places in halacha where we have that you have to tie it together. Eitz Erez Ve'ezoiv Ishnisa La'as, and you tie them all together. And from here we learn the din of Lulav Tzarech Eged. If you look in the Mishnah Maseches Parah in the third parak, let me quote to you, how do you do it? Not al eighth eres, but eizai v'shnitelas. And what do you tie them together with before you throw them into the fire of the Parah Aduma? Karchan b'shiyarei ha'lashoi. You wrap them with what's left from the lashon shel zahoris. Says the Bar Tanur Rav and Art. Le'etz Erez Ve'ezoiz, you wrap around the Eitz Erez and the Ezov with what? B'shiyaru Loshen Shel Tzemer, Shutzavua B'shlite Las, Shehoyta Aruka, you take a very long strip of red wool, Uvemash Talya Oideit, the extra length of wool, Al Eitz Erez Ve'ezoiz, Ve'ekarish Loshen Yachat. How do you do an aguda? You take the end of the long red piece of wool, and you wrap it around the Ezev and the Eitz Erez, and that's how you have an aguda. So I thought, if that's the case, then you're stuck. Why get into the whole problem? If there's some kind of issue with taking the leaf off a lulav, just take the bottom leaf of a lulav, bend it to the side, and then wrap it around the hadas and the ravas without removing anything, and tuck it in, do a tassel, and that should be fine. You're going to tell me you can't be ma'agat something b'nei beit? So the Ferish of Mishnah, it's also there in looking in the Sechus Negoyim. You see the same thing. So we have a chayra adin that it's no problem at all to use the object itself, the Dvar Mitzvah itself, to be ma'agat itself with the other minim that it's with, and that's called a negat. So the Prima Gadol was answering the shayla that he got, but we nearer that it wouldn't be a problem to use the leaf that's still attached to the lulav in order to make the egg. Just want to end with a quick idea that's negat to our matzah nowadays. We're a year after the tzara and the shivya of Klal Yisrael. And if you look in the Mishnah, you ever just say a cook halacha is supposed to put the lulav and etzer together. How do we know? It doesn't say it in Chazal. The Beis Yosef brings in the Rakanti that he had a dream that there was a chassid who came to his town. It was the night of Sukkot. And he had a dream. He's writing the Shema Vaya Yud Kei Vav, and then he's writing the Hay somewhere else. Figure out what the dream is about. The next day, says the Rakanti, I came to Shul, and I saw this Yid davening in our Shul, and he was holding the Esther far from the Lulav. And then I realized that that's a pshat in the dream, that the first three letters of the Shema Vaya are these three minim, and the Esther is the fourth letter, and you have to put them together to make the Shema Vaya. And then he says, Kenitzka B'medrash. Where is that Medrash? I don't know. But if you look, the Medrash says, V'ra'u kol amei o'aretz kishem Hashem nikro alecha. We know the Gemara Menacha says that is tefillin. But the Medrash says, b'shem Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that is the Arba Minim. The Arba Minim are Shem Hashem nikro alecha. So chayra, these are the oisis of the Shem Hashem that's nikro aleinu. And remember, we see that the lulav and esrog are a s'gula, that the oivim, that the amei o'aretz should seek kishem Hashem nikro alecha v'yoru mimecha. So this is a very big deal. So we're in a time of Tzara and Shivya of Muchama. This is Segula that we should win is the Arba Minim. But there's one other issue. The other thing is that when we talk to do a Shanis every day, we say Kaishata Elim Belud Imach. And without going into the particulars, there's one theme. We say it every day. What does it mean? It means one thing. If we're in Galus Hashem, you're in Galus. It says V'Hoytzeisi Esam, I'm going to take you out. So says the Shanis, it could say V'Hutzeisi Itchem, I will be taken out with you. It says Vayoisha Hashem Bayema Uis Israel Miyah Mitzrayim, says the Ishanet. It could say Vayivosha Hashem was saved Bayema Hu Es Israel along with Klai Yisrael Miyah Mitzrayim. Wherever we go, Akash Baruch Hu is Batzara Ubashivya along with us. So the whole Bakasha that we have, especially coming to Ishana Rabba, this is the entire theme. And Rashi says Aniva Hoya Shiana, he gives a pshat, and Tosfos says, you know what Aniva Hu Shiana, you know what it means? Because it says, Ani v'soich ha-goyla. Hashem says it about himself. Ani v'soich ha-goyla. V'hu oimed bein ha-datsin. Who's v'hu ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu? That's Ani v'hu ha-Shiyana. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just that it's Lamanoi that we're asking. He's with us in the Golas. He's with us in the Tshivya. So Yerotan, that our tefillah should be in the Skabel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only she-Yoshia es-Amoi, but like Tosfos says, she-Yoshia es-Atmoi v'meherim yomein.